The early 90s saw the arrival of the first laptop computers for mass consumption. And just like their desktop cousins, they were slow and very expensive. Over time, they became a lot cheaper, a lot smaller, and a lot faster. Last year, we saw the low-cost notebook compete for our dollar, a simplified pared-down laptop with just basically the basics. Next year, expect a new category of laptop called the Ultrabook. Our tech editor, Peter Marks, joins us now to tell us all about it. Peter, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
What's an Ultrabook?
Well, they're super slim laptops. They are typically a wedge shape, and I think you'll recognise them from the MacBook Airs that Apple have been very successful with. Now,
What do you mean a wedge shape?
Well, they're kind of a wedge, very thin wedge, so they're almost sharp. They're so thin, and the reason they're thin is because they don't have an optical drive in them anymore. So as you said, we had the netbooks, the very low-cost netbooks were very popular a year or so ago. Now, that part of the market has been eaten up a bit by tablets so far. But Intel was a bit concerned that none of the manufacturers had anything to compete with Apple's Air-style laptops, which have been very popular. So they've invested $300 million to kickstart this new segment called Ultrabooks. And over summer, we expect to see between 30 to 50 new products announced. So in the January Consumer Electronics Show.
30 to 50 new Ultrabooks?
Yes, from different manufacturers. So they're going to be everywhere in the stores.
That's incredible how that all comes online at once.
Well, I think it's an Intel initiative because they really want, you know, people to be going back to the PCs. I mean, one of the problems that Intel has got right at the moment is that their CPUs, although they've been, of course, dominant in desktops and laptops up until now.
What's a CPU?
The central computer unit, the computer chip, which comes from Intel, typically the i386 series, they're not being used in phones or in tablets at the moment. There's a competitor architecture called ARM, which is actually a British firm that licenses out the design, and that's the chip that's being used in all the tablets, and even Windows 8 will run on ARM. So this is a big threat to Intel. They've kind of missed this whole segment.
So they're trying to drive this thing that will take up their chips again.
Yeah.
What's an Ultrabook? How is that? Is that can do more than a notebook and more than, say, an iPad or the tablets?
Well, it's really stripped down. As I said, they don't have an optical drive. They use a low voltage CPU and they have typically integrated graphics, so they're not really for gaming or anything. And they are supposed to have all-day battery life. HP Folio 13 has claims 9 hours battery life, so really you could use it all day.
That's hugely important, isn't it, really, for this kind of thing?
It is. You want to not have to carry an adapter with you. Now, they're very light and thin, and of course, you know, people worry that they may be stolen. Mm. So when Intel created the category, they've made some standards, and one of them is that they have a security system built into them. So like a phone does, a BlackBerry, particularly, you know, corporate phones like iPhones and BlackBerries, they have a remote wipe feature and a security feature so that if you lose your Ultrabook, you'll be able to, basically, you'll be able to mark it on the website. The next time it turns on, it will either lock itself or even wipe itself remotely.
Incredible. But so just before we finish on the Ultrabook, they're about the same size or still bigger than the tablet, say the iPad?
They're probably a little bit bigger than a tablet, but of course they have the keyboard, so if you're doing work, they're good for that
and
kind of application.
And cost-wise?
Well, look, the target is to beat Apple, to be under $1,000. There are a couple of them, but they're all $899, so most of them are still over $1,000.
It's really funny, isn't it, Pete? As our laptops get smaller, our televisions get bigger. And for years, we've been talking about television and the internet converging, but it's not really, really happening. By and large, we still use the aerial, not the internet, to watch TV. What is anything changing there?
Yes, it's starting to happen finally. We've had devices for maybe 10 years or more, but internet speeds are coming down, downloads are going up, and there's a number of devices. We've now got Xbox 360, Apple TV, of course, has been out there for a long time, Hulu, Fetch TV, Foxtel IQ, and QuickFlix, which previously used to mail out movies on DVD, have now launched an online service in Australia so you can get movies streaming. The one I really like at the moment is called Boxy, which is actually open source software, and Boxy lets you view programs in a different kind of way. It uses social networking. So rather than going through all the channels and things, you can just go to, well, show me the popular shows right now. And it picks and chooses them out of things like ABC iView and the Channel 7 replay.
Depending on the number of people viewing.
Other people who like that show. So it's a better way of finding programs and it kind of unifies the user interface.
And is it user-friendly, this, you know, IPTV, let's call it that? Is it user-friendly? user-friendly? Because you still, even if you have, say, Foxtel IQ or something, you've still got to marry it to your computer, don't you?
Well,
no. It's a process to go through, isn't it?
Oh, look, it's much better than watching TV now. We've now got, in the capitals anyway, so many digital channels that it's hard to find the program. So I think this is a better way of viewing it. And look, I look forward to the day when we don't have to worry about what channels are. We just subscribe to shows. And that day appears to be coming. Google TV will be re-entering the market. Their initial offering, which didn't come to Australia, hasn't been a big success, but they're rumoured to be back early next year with devices made by Samsung and LG.
And the future is now, as I say. Peter Marks, thanks again.
Thanks, Fran.
Peter Marks, our regular tech guy, and he'll be back in a couple of weeks to review 2011, the tech year. Give us his best and worst technological awards for the year. You're listening to ABC Radio National Breakfast. It's 8:18.